Podcast.
Past Futures Podcast, produced by Islanders, made possible by the National Lottery Heritage Fund, a people's history of the Isle of Wight.
Good time, I think. I'll rattle off my Michael Morey story. This is most people have heard part of the legend, and I'll just say that Morey and Dove are both old Isle of Wight surnames and still in existence. Most people know somebody by that name on the island. Okay, well, Michael Morey was born in 1672 and he worked as a woodcutter. Now, a woodcutter's tool in hand would always have been a billook. In 1736, he was living in the area of Arrowton and Down End, known as Sullens, with his wife Beth and his grandson James Dove, who was 14. And he'd lived with them since he was a baby, because Michael's daughter died in childbirth and James's father abandoned him. Now, one account from the time suggests that the lad had come into a small inheritance, and another that he had, in inverted commas, disobliged his grandfather.
Oh, dear. Oh.
Well, either way, Michael took young James, on the pretense of going to Newport to market, into nearby woods at around 6 a.m. On a June morning, carrying 2 leather pouches, which were supposed to be for whatever they bought in Newport. But neither Michael nor James returned that day. Several days later, Michael did return, but he could not give a satisfactory answer regarding James' whereabouts. And he was arrested on suspicion, but then placed in the care of his son on some kind of house arrest. And in July, he absconded and was hiding in a cave in the chalk on Arrowton Downs. And if you know where that is, apparently Michael Morey's cave still exists. 3 days later, he was discovered and taken to Winchester Jail to await trial. Now, this is, interestingly, I've picked up the story of Michael Morey. This was suggested by my uncle, by the way, from 4 or 5 different accounts. And they all vary a little bit, but I've sort of stuck with the things that are in all of them. So, there you go. So he was taken to Winchester Jail to await trial. In October, bearing in mind that he took him in June, in October, 2 leather panniers were found in the woods containing the dismembered remains of young James, together with a billhook and bloodstained gloves belonging to Michael. Michael was tried at Winchester Assizes in March 1737 and found guilty of murder. Although the evidence was circumstantial, and Michael, being inarticulate and taciturn by nature, pleaded not guilty and presented a poor defence.
Oh, dear.
Nowadays, I don't think that would have stood up for a murder charge, but in those days...
Not. No.
Okay. It's folklore that he burnt his cottage down to hide the murder, okay? But which, as they say, is where the name Burnt House Lane came from. Okay, but... All the accounts that I looked at, none of them had mentioned a fire. And my thought on that was, well, what happened to his wife, Bess? She must have still been living in that cottage. So I think two old stories have kind of got linked there. So I don't think Michael Morey did burn the house down. Anyway, poor old Michael was hanged on the day of his trial.
Oh, dear.
In Winchester on Gallows Hill on the 19th of March. Actually, he was age 65 then, so a good age, as people didn't expect to get beyond 70. So, yeah, here you go. But that's not the end of the story, because the law of the land at that time was that murderers' corpses should be hung in chains. And that was only repealed in 1834, believe it or not.
Grief.
So Michael's body was brought back to Arrowton, and a gibbet was built at the cost of £6.05 by local wheelwright John Phillips, and erected on the ancient burial mounds at Down End, near where the house Hare and Hounds now stands. A metal gibbet cage was made to measure by the local blacksmith, and Michael's body was placed inside, and the cage was hung on the gibbet. Well, there it remained for months as a warning to others, and was picked out by flocks of ravens and rooks until only the skeleton remained. Now, no one knows where his skeleton was actually buried, because murderers were not allowed to be buried in consecrated grounds at that time, so somebody would have just dug a hole and done away with him. Now, the gibbet is reputed to now form part of the roof structure of the Hare and Hounds that was built later, although that can't be substantiated, but there is a very old chunk of timber. I have seen it in there, so that could be the case. Okay, ghosts. Well, if you read Gay Baldwin's books on ghosts on the Isle of Wight, several people have reported as have had, like, somebody was stopped at the halt sign one night in the middle of winter outside the Hare and Hounds, and they looked in their rearview mirror and saw a man whose face was in shreds looking in the back window at them. Was that Michael? I don't know. Who can say? But there was a children's playground rhyme on the island, and it went like this. Michael Morey is dead for cutting off his grandson's head. He is he's hung on Arrowton Down for rooks and ravens to peck down.
Ooh.
Oh, now, cheerful.
We don't tend to have those kind of rhymes in the playground anymore, do we?
No.
But that's,
no.
That's,
thank
how
goodness.
That's how it passed on. So yeah, they did used to... one of the things apparently they used to do if they weren't put in a gibbet cage was they used to cover the corpse in tar to preserve it and hang it up, because it was always meant as a warning, and they always hung it near where the crime had committed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was supposed to warn locals, yeah. You know, this is what happens to you if you commit murder.
Well, that's what they used to do to pirates, isn't it? They used to hang them up
absolutely.
To warn other pirates.
Yeah.
Mm.
And if you look at other cultures, they, you know, there is one that I know of that they would just use your head and leave it on a stake somewhere.
Uh-huh. Mm. Yeah.
So okay. It's not dissimilar.
No. Okay, well, it's a cheery story, but but it's just a case of, I've always been told Burnt House Lane was called Burnt House Lane because Michael Morey burnt his house down. But there's four accounts that I looked at, one of which was transcribed from quite old documents from Winchester, and it doesn't seem to be the case. So there was probably another story of somebody who did something and burnt their cottage down. That's my view. But if anybody out there knows otherwise, let us know.